The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 20th through Sunday, January 26th, 2025. The commentary for the month of January was written by Jackie Fullop, who has been in education for the past 30 years and is a Montessori elementary teacher. Jackie and her husband Tim are the parents of four grown children. They worship at Christ Church in Danville, Virginia, where Tim serves as priest in charge. The commentary for Monday, January 20th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Here's the commentary. The Message adds another sentence to this verse that helps me see the implication of Paul's words. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Imagine what our lives and what the world would be like if we truly believed this, knew this to be true, and lived this truth out every day. If those of us who say we know and love God acted as though God was Father of all, above, through, and in all people, every living thing on earth, the very earth itself, and that we are permeated with oneness, how would things change? I think we can begin living this out by offering everyone kindness and compassion. This then grows into dignity and respect, which eventually evolves into harmony and peace, and ultimately becomes simply love. This is a world I want to inhabit. It begins with me now and in each moment. May I live into the oneness I know exists with God, my neighbor, and all things. And may you too. Now I'm going to read this full passage from Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And the moving forward question for this Monday, January 20th, is what step can you take today to live into this oneness? The commentary for Tuesday, January 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 29. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. This is a difficult verse to wrestle with in 220 words or less, but I wanted to try because I think many of us have been afraid of unintentionally committing a sin that's somehow unforgivable. But that is not what I hear Jesus saying. The scribes in today's gospel lesson are threatened by Jesus and accuse him of casting out demons by the power of demons. In other words, proclaiming the good Jesus does as evil. Seeing evil where there is good and good where there is evil, such as the idol makers Isaiah condemns, is a kind of deliberate moral obtuseness, so deep that there's no hope of it ever being changed. It is being content to feed on ashes. When people are blind to good and call it evil, they cut themselves off from God and cannot seek or receive the forgiveness that is always present. We are in danger of committing this sin if we, like the scribes, feel our way of life being challenged and call it evil. Now I'm going to read the full gospel passage today from Mark chapter 3, verses 19b through 35. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then, indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, have you been content to feed on ashes? How can you look with new eyes and see good in the good? Now let's take a look at the commentary for Wednesday, January 22nd. It begins with a passage from Psalm 38, verse 9, O Lord, you know all my desires, and my sighing is not hidden from you. I come from a long line of sighers, and sighing deeply, sometimes for apparently no specific reason, seems perfectly natural to me. Today I learned that David, the presumed writer of the Psalms, is a sigher too, and I'm happy to share this common bond. David offers a litany to God, a list of symptoms that are signs of his physical and spiritual suffering and proof of how bad things are. And then it's as if in the middle of his complaining, David realizes something amazing. God already knows the deep longing of David's heart. Moreover, God is aware of each sigh from David's lungs. How close God must be to hear even that. This specific knowledge is what gives David hope amidst pain and remorse, enabling him to wait in confidence for God's help. It's hard to wait patiently, especially when I'm in pain, but I am comforted knowing my sighs are unspoken prayers that only God understands. Thank you, David, my sighing soulmate, for this pleasant surprise. And I'm going to read the full passage from the Psalm, chapter 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. They weigh like a burden too heavy for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate all day long, and I go around mourning. For my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is known to you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my affliction, and my neighbors stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek to hurt me speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like the deaf, I do not hear, like the mute who cannot speak. Truly I am like the one who does not hear and in whose mouth is no retort. But it is for you, O Lord, that I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. For I pray only, do not let them rejoice over me, those who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. Those who are my foes without cause are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, offer words of thanksgiving to the God who knows you completely. The commentary for Thursday, January 23rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground." Here's the commentary. The man in this short parable is like the farmer earlier in Mark. They both indiscriminately throw seed without much care. After scattering seed on the ground, the man goes about his life day after day, paying no attention to the seed, until one day he finds a field full of ripe grain. What a surprise that must have been. Jesus tells us that this unexpected and unexplainable growth is like God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is alive with God's creative, redeeming, life-giving power, just as the earth produces of itself. We cannot create or block God's power, but we can depend on it and work with it like this seed-scattering man who trusted in the benevolence of the earth and the power for growth inherent in the seed. This little story of the growing seed helps us know that we don't have to understand the mystery to trust the sure forces of God that bring forth fruit of themselves. God's kingdom come. And now here's the full passage of Mark, verses 21. This is chapter 21, verses 21 through 34. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what seeds are you planting in your spiritual garden? Now the commentary for Friday, January 24th, it begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 24. "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Wouldn't it be great if there were a spiritual cupboard from which we could take for ourselves whatever it was we needed at a particular moment in our lives? I'd rifle through looking for the giant box of courage I need right now to face the stressful uncertainty I feel these days. I'm struggling to have hope, faced with the grim predictions for the future of our planet and the political discord threatening to destroy our country, as well as my own needs, which seem no less significant. My uncourageous response is to cocoon myself in my house, eat comfort food, and watch mind-numbingly stupid television. The psalmist understands my distress and encourages me to be strong by waiting for the Lord. The kind of waiting we're talking about here isn't mindlessly hoping in vain that something will change. This waiting is alert, like a sentinel posted on the parapet, expectantly watching for someone to appear. The someone I'm waiting for is the Lord, and it is in the certainty of God's coming that I can take the courage my heart needs. And now I'm going to read this full psalm, number 31, from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. "In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. And the moving forward question for this Friday, do you restock the shelves of your spiritual cupboard? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, January 25th, the day on which we commemorate the conversion of St. Paul. It begins with a passage from Acts 26, verse 13b. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and my companions. I think it's safe to assume that few of us have had a conversion experience as remarkable as Paul's. Or if you're grown up in the church, maybe none of you can remember at all. God acted in the extraordinary way to get Paul's attention and change his life. Paul was set in one direction until, when blinded, he turned and went another way, both literally and spiritually. It took losing his eyesight for him to listen. I've known people whose lives were set on one course until a powerful, life-changing experience set them in a new direction. Some of us who have had less visible course corrections in our lives may think that dramatic encounters are somewhat inferior, but God uses various people and experiences in our lives to reach each of us every day, and that's significant no matter if it's big or small. One of my favorite authors, Paula Darcy, said, "God comes to you disguised as your life." Let us pay attention to the messages God is sending us in the people we meet and the circumstances we face. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, January 25th, are you in need of a course correction? And now as we reach the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to Sunday, January 26th, the third Sunday of Epiphany. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18a. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. On this day in his hometown synagogue, Jesus announces that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy and that he has been anointed by God to bring good news to the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. Isaiah is referring to the year of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, where every 50 years all debts were to be canceled and all slaves set free. What a wonderful reset this would bring to people's lives. The poor and captive suddenly freed from all that hindered their opportunity for prosperity and belonging, no longer burdened by their failures or their wrongdoings. This reconciliation with God and man was proclaimed by a trumpet blast on the Day of Atonement. The trumpet is sounding for us as well. In Jesus, we can experience that same at-one-ment with God, free from the burden of our failures and faults, united with God. The good news is that today, despite being burdened and bound, wherever we are or whatever we have done, Jesus brings wholeness and freedom. Jesus is our Jubilee. And a moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, January 26th, maybe it's time for a reset. Jesus can help. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.